This book is called The Greatest Hoax on Earth. Did I read that right? The Greatest Hoax on Earth. Trying to do that like a carnival barker type. Catching the truth? Well, we can. Alan Logan, the author of that book, is here. And Catch Me If You Can was the name of the movie that people are familiar with. It starred Leonardo DiCaprio. So now you know what I'm talking about. What motivated you to write this book in the first place, Alan?
Yeah, well, thanks so much. What a great intro, Steve. I'm chuckling myself at a P.T. Barnum voice. the motivation is really simple, and I'll keep it tight. I had written a book called Self-Style Chasing. Dr. Robert Vernon Spears, who was a medical con man, a quack, pretended to be a doctor in Dallas for 10 years, pretended to be a pilot, among other things, and ultimately still remains, even though he's deceased, the lead figure in a mysterious airline crash from 1959, Flight 967. So when that book was published, many people were comparing this central figure to Frank William Abagnale, the well-known character from Catch Me If You Can, which is really a billion-dollar enterprise between his own best-selling autobiography, the film you mentioned, which is, you know, known worldwide, and of course, that spawned a hit Broadway musical that's toured the country and continues to be put on today. So what happened was, as a result of the self-styled book on The Other Con Man, when people make the comparison, I'm like, okay, you know, let me just have a look into Abagnale just so I can inform myself and make sure that I can speak with some level of intelligence about it. And come to find out, when I did some digging, that very few of his claims were documented and verified. And along the way, on Genealogy Bank, there was a newspaper that was scanned there that had a tiny little article from February of 1969 that said Frank William Abagnale Jr. of Larchmont, New York, was arrested for vagrancy. And I said, that's interesting, because in his talks at Google, which has been viewed over 13 million times, I would encourage your listeners to have a poke at it, because it's quite the video on YouTube. It was recently done, 2017, and he claims in there that he was arrested only once in his life, and that was in Montpellier, France. So I knew something didn't add up at that point, and peeled the onion layers back, got in touch with the victims in Baton Rouge, and they had a heck of a story to tell, which completely conflicted with everything we all know about Catch Me If You Can.
What story did they tell?
Well, specifically, the family down in Baton Rouge, the Parks family, he had been following their daughter, who was a real Delta Airlines flight attendant, known as a stewardess at the time, and really made her uncomfortable. But she had a tough time kind of, getting rid of him and sending the signal that she was disinterested in him, and ultimately followed her down to her parents' house in Baton Rouge, where they lived. And then a couple of weeks after they had just briefly met, showed up at their doorstep and said, "Hey, I'm Paul Ascend, remember me?" And they invited him in. They were, you know, Louisiana hospitality. He stayed with them, and he stole blank checks from them and was even taking the parents out to dinner and buying them other flowers, ultimately, come to find out, with their own checks. So he was arrested and convicted for that in 1969, and letters that were written from him from the Baton Rouge jailhouse to the parents, Paula, the Delta Airlines flight attendant, who I spoke with, she said, "Hey, I've got these letters that he wrote," and she says, "Maybe they're of value to you." So she gave me the letters that were written from Frank Abagnale to her parents. Essentially, he was just trying to get them to be lenient and not try to push conviction and, you know, have the court system treat him with ease. But he also got his mother to write a letter to the Parks family, and in the letter from the mother, she disclosed that Frank Abagnale had in fact been in prison the 3 years prior. So, and it specifically said that he was in Comstock, New York prison. So this was, my jaw almost dropped when I read this.
The movie, though, has got to be true, right? But here's why I say that. After seeing the movie, our own Roger Ebert said, "This story has got to be true. That goes without saying, since it's too preposterous to have been invented by any screenwriter." So what I want to do is talk about what's true and what wasn't true.
Sure,
it seems that there was a lot that was true, a lot that wasn't true. And I'll also ask you this question. I mean, what's the difference between a con man and a liar? One doesn't sound so bad. Was he both? Are they both the same thing? You'll answer that question when we come back. We're talking with Alan Logan, the author of, and I'll do it again, The Greatest Hoax on Earth. Steve Dale's Other World on WGN. Yeah, it's kind of mysterious music, and the man was a man of mystery and the author of The Greatest Hoax on Earth, Catching Truth While You Can. And Alan Logan is the author, and Catch Me If You Can is the name of the movie. Leonardo DiCaprio starred in it, playing a guy who pretended his whole life to be something other than what he was. What kind of person does that? What led Frank Abagnale Jr. to be like that in the first place?
Well, you know, you asked it right before the break. You asked really important questions. I mean, the first was, well, what's the difference between what really happened and in the movie and reality? And we know in the movie that Abagnale, his own claims on To Tell the Truth and other shows that he was on between 1977 and 1980 before he wrote his autobiography, was that between the ages of 16 and 18, he traveled around the world on Pan Am's dime in 26 countries, $2 million in checks. Then he said he was a doctor in a Georgia hospital for a year, practicing, supervising pediatrics. Then he said he was a lawyer in Baton Rouge in the state attorney general's office for a year. Then he said he was a professor at 20 years old, holding a PhD for two semesters teaching sociology. So those are the claims. A lot of those made their way into the movie. The reality is, just to get to that promissory before the break, The reality is, at 22 years old, Abagnale did dress as a Pan Am pilot for 3 months. He cashed 10 Pan Am checks, totaling less than $1,500 US. There wasn't an FBI task force that went out to get him. They were able to find him pretty easily within the 3 months because he was using his real name. So he was tracked down and arrested on November 2nd, 1970. So that's really the essence of the entire story. Other than that, he was never a doctor, never a lawyer, never a professor, never any of that. What's the difference between a liar and a con man, you ask? And I think it's a really important question, because the experts in Baton Rouge, the actual first assistant attorney general and the attorney general himself, Jack P.F. Gremian, they called him a liar. They said the man's not a con man. He's just a liar. It's funny you should ask that question. I think the difference is, if he had actually gotten in and acted as an attorney general under a ruse, maybe you could argue that he was a deaf confidence man. But in fact, he was successful at lying, and then that, in a circular way, becomes the question, well, isn't he then the greatest con man of all time? Because he got so many people globally to believe this, and it's just it's a fascinating phenomenon. And it's actually not dissimilar, Steve, in terms of trying to correct misinformation and who do we trust and, you know, why do we, you know, tend to disbelieve experts. I think actually it's not disconnected from your next guest, who will clean up misinformation and will provide facts and confidence in medical care and how important that is. So, you know, these conversations in the era of misinformation and the crisis that we're dealing with at the moment, it might seem like kind of a cute thing, based on a movie, but in fact, this is kind of right in the heart of what we're dealing with, trying to figure out fact from fiction and who we should trust as experts.
When did Frank Abagnale pass away, do you know?
Oh, he's still very much alive.
Oh, I didn't know that. How old is he?
He's about in his early 70s. He makes $30,000 US per dinner talk up until recently to tell this story of. That's why when you go and you see him on YouTube, he's still claiming to be an attorney general in Baton Rouge.
What?
You
know, he must be having a field day today, because to your point, if he uses social media, if you use social media, you can say anything you want, and it's not necessarily checked up on, you know? So is
100%.
So is he taking advantage of that?
Well, since the movie came out, he was getting $15,000 a talk. After the movie, now it's upwards of $30,000. And his schedule pre-pandemic was packed to the, you know, very full schedule, talking about this imaginary life. And there's multitude of YouTube videos of him at various podiums making all these grand claims. And generally speaking, until these facts emerged, and these facts have only just emerged in the last few months, the realization that he was in the Great Meadow Prison at Comstock, New York, is brand new information. He's kind of been outed by public records. They're irrefutable public records that place him in all these places. It's just, Steve, that it hadn't really been checked or verified at any point. So he's just been skating. And right now he's kind of placing the blame on his co-author, his 1980 autobiography co-author, who's deceased. That's a convenient excuse, but the problem with that is that there's a multitude of evidence that shows in the mid to late 70s that he himself, Avenel, was making all these claims. And To Tell the Truth, which is on YouTube, is a perfect example. He makes all the primary claims on there of being a doctor and making a wild escape from the Atlanta Federal Penitentiary, which is simply not true.
Huh. All right, so if indeed, follow me here if you can, is the purpose of him doing all of this, I mean, it seems that he's a performer at heart of sorts.
Yes.
And the speaking you talk about, he's been doing for a very long time. And you document in the book about how his first manager, if that's the right term, was really the person that set him up at that time for all these talks at colleges. And the college kids just loved to hear him talk, apparently.
100%. You got it right on the nail. And the manager, and it's true, he was actually his formal manager. That was his title. And he wrote the foreword to the book. And ultimately, it was college kids that, you know, made him into a national hero. But ultimately, in 1982, it was college kids that took him down. This is in the pre-internet era, so it didn't go anywhere. It stayed isolated. But briefly, it was actually Stephen F. Austin University criminal justice students. Their professor said, hey, why don't we check this guy out and start pulling some of the records? And they were able to determine that a lot of his claims were untrue, and they called him out on it, and Abigail left the speaker circuit for a while under pressure. But then again, in the pre-digital era, all that was forgotten, and he rose like a phoenix out of the ashes. So in that sense, I mean, you have to hand it to him for becoming a global phenomena along the way.
Is there a legal reason of some sort that you don't have Frank Abagnale's name in the title of the book? And I take it when you reached out to say, I take it you did reach out to say I'd like to interview you. I don't know that that's the case. You'll tell me in a moment. But I also take it that he said no.
I didn't reach out to him because the professor who was leading those university students at the time said it's a fool's errand to ask him about his biography. And I took
Is that because he would lie anyway?
Well, yeah, because he would constantly make up stories about his. And if you cornered him, he would make up an excuse. This has been documented multiple times. So I just went with what were his words. I mean, I have thousands of newspaper articles, audio cassette recordings, CDs, DVDs, YouTube videos. There's just an endless array of him and his own words. So I didn't need to ask him to try to confirm things. I wanted the public records to stand. What do the public records show? And amazingly, when I went to the National Archives, I would ask everyone along the way, pulling the records in the National Archives, has anyone pulled these before? And they couldn't say with certainty, but they said, I personally have never pulled these records on Abagnale before. It was almost like he was all in plain sight. Now, of course, I had the manuscript fully vetted by, you know, a libel and copyright attorneys and things like that, because I understand this is an affluent person and, you know, but everything, again, is irrefutable on the public record front. So that I'm just simply stating the facts as they go.
I know you've not seen his bank account, but how affluent do you think he is?
Well, it's reported that he's worth a minimum of $10 million, and that would make sense. I mean, if you're getting 30 grand a pop on a very busy schedule, you're dealing with a really affluent individual. And,
well,
you know,
I hope you make that much off the book.
I don't think so. I'm not in it for that. There's victims here. Their voices were never heard.
Yeah.
The Parks family at Baton Rouge in particular. And I just, you know, I was in it for that. Once I heard Paula Parks' story and her family and then from other victims, I just wanted to get this out there. And then ultimately journalists and others can follow up on it if they wish. But I think it was just really important to set the record straight, especially in this era. And, you know, I really appreciate you giving me a few minutes to talk about it, and I really appreciate, and I'm really keen to hear your next guest as well.
I think
it's such an important thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. That next guest, Dr. Richard Novak, head of the Moderna trial. The name of the book we're talking about, I'm going to change it for I'm going to call it The Real Truth, The Greatest Hoax on Earth, Catching Truth While We Can. Alan Logan, author of this giant read. I mean, boy, talk about details and a journalist doing homework and research. You certainly have done that. Thank you so much.
Really appreciate it, Steve. Thanks a million. All the best to you.